dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond.
This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Skytook, Oklahoma, and the home of Chip and Candace Brim. Chip, when I was bringing you up, now there's such a thing as authority, and you were born again as a little boy, but then when you came up through high school and all this and that, I don't know that you exactly filled yourself up with the Word of God. But you did have, you did believe. You were a believer.
Oh, yeah. I love the Lord.
And I thought about, I was, thank God I was working for Brother Hagin, and I learned about the power of the blood. You need to get my book, The Blood and the Glory. And I tell a lot of things in there. And I learned from Brother Hagin and the old timers. Brother Hagin said the old timers knew things about the blood that we don't know. And Brother Hagin said, here's the way I do it. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. Now, Brenda, I want you to read that about the bloodline. This is from my book, The Blood and the Glory.
God drew a bloodline from heaven to earth and back to heaven. Our question is, can believers draw a bloodline? In my quest after the place of the blood of the Lamb as a primary weapon against the strategies of the enemy, I came across an amazing incident. A minister and his wife, named Stevens, were conducting meetings in Canada in a large church. They had left their children at home in the southeastern part of the United States in the care of grandparents. The Canadian meetings were inflicting great damage to the kingdom of darkness. Many were coming to new life in Jesus, and many were being set free from the bondages of Satan. Don Gossett gave the following account in his book, Praise Avenue. Because of this success, the devil became infuriated and began to torment Brother Stevens with the thought that he was going to kill the Stevens children. Brother Stevens said, "Devil, you're a liar. You cannot kill my children." To this, the devil seemed to say, "Oh, yes, I can, for I have put rabies upon the foxes in the woods adjoining your property." Immediately, Brother Stevens remembered the reports of friends who had seen foxes roaming on his land before he had left Tennessee. In simple, childlike faith, Brother Stevens gathered together three other believers. Together they agreed in prayer, and by faith they drew a bloodline of protection around the Stevens property. A week later, Brother Stevens received a letter from his brother back in Tennessee. He said, "Today I was out walking. I walked around the edge of your property. Lying on the boundary of your land, I found 5 dead foxes. We had the heads examined and found they were all rabid. The foxes had dropped dead when they tried to cross the bloodline."
You see, these are the days before cell phones. These are the days when you had to depend on mail. But here are the Stevens up in Canada. And here are their children. I think it was in Tennessee or Kentucky or someplace back there. And they drew that bloodline by faith from another place. And Satan was not able to cross that bloodline and get into those children. Now, when Chip was coming up, and all of our kids were coming up, but it seemed to me like Chip required a little more attention from a parent with the bloodline. Now, all of you parents out there listening, some of your children are faithful to fill themselves with the Word of God, and some of them are not. So what do you do about them? You have got authority over them and their lives for a while. So Chip, tell about what we would do about you and your car and all that.
Well, you had two angels and my sisters. They never sinned in their life. And then there's Terry, and we didn't know what he did. So there was me, who was in every sport and then everything, and wanted to be involved and socially and everything else, you know, just kind of peer pressure and blah, blah, blah. So to me back then, my eyes weren't spiritually opened and they were not enlightened as Paul prayed. So to me, there was no good looking girls in the church. So I only dated girls of the world. So here I'm bringing these girls and I'm going to date them, and I bring them home. I brought everybody home. Football team, didn't matter.
He brought everybody home.
So, and I would forget that Mom would always plead the blood over her car, no matter where we went, and it was embarrassing to me. And here I'm dating these girls that were, you know, not Christians. So anyway, I thought I'd gotten away with it. Maybe mom was on the phone or something. I said, hey, hurry up. Let's get out of here. So just don't worry about it. So we.
Because what would I say?
Well, we go in there and then mom, and then we heard the screen door slam and we go, wait, and it'd be mom. And I haven't pleaded the blood yet. And here she come running. And I'd say, hurry, hurry, hurry. And so we would try to get in that car and I'd try to start it up. Mom would put both her hands on the hood and go, I plead the blood of Jesus over this car.
In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this car, bumper to bumper, side to side, top to bottom, every part working and non-working. No one or no thing will bump this car. And this car will bump no one or no thing.
And then she'd make us get out and she'd plead the blood over me. And then she'd grab the girl who she didn't know and go, darling, I plead the blood. Chip, who is this? This one's different than last week. And she would say that just to make sure that, you know. Anyway, so it was kind of a hidden message. But, and then I'd bring the football teams in and stuff like that. And they would, she would line them all up, you know, and lay hands on them and pray. And there, some of them weren't Christian. They didn't know what the blood was. They didn't know anything. And then we'd go out and do our thing, and we would sense a protection. We would sense something happened. We should have died in a car wreck, or something happened, and those guys would go, "It's your mom and that blood thing." And now I look back at it, I thought even they noticed the power of it, and they didn't know. You know what I mean? Even they were saying of the world, "It's your mom and that blood thing that saved our life." And so. They knew the power of it. So the next time they came over, we're getting ready to leave. And they said, hey, your mama hadn't done that yet. Go get her. I'm like, what? You're kidding. No, go get her. We're not leaving without her doing that. We know the power of it. I said, oh, my goodness. And mama would go, well, who said that? I'm proud of you, you know, and this and that. And lay hands on them, make them bend over and plead the blood over them. But that was interesting to me later on how evident it was to
even
those. Well,
you said to me later on, Mom, you don't know.
Oh, how many times it saved our lives?
And I said, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Oh, yeah.
But I am thankful for the blood of Jesus, and you can use that blood of Jesus.
I'm thankful now, very thankful that I had a mom who did that.
Yes.
I'm thankful that I didn't have a mom who laid down on her bed and cried in fear.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I had a mom who...
Thank God I got delivered. You didn't know how you got delivered.
Yeah.
You could have had that, son.
I say this to parents now. Don't be that mom who gives up and you're praying these care-filled prayers and fear. No, stand up and use your authority and plead the blood and don't let them go no matter what you see or what you hear.
Bind that devil.
I had a mom like that and now I'm preaching. Praise God.
You send your little children to school. You put your hands on their heads before they go to the class. You say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus on your mind. Now, we've had some shootings. We've had things happening at schools that never happened when you were growing up, Chip. Mm-mm. Never happened even, relatively lately. But it's like a spate of them now. Why? Because it's just exactly what this McMillan said, that they're coming up. And the Bible said there are going to be more of them. They're going to come rapid. Really, Satan's fighting for his life. So we have a school shooting after a school shooting after a school shooting. And I remember one of the first one was Columbine. And we had this great prayer warrior, Rachel T. Fatiller. And she said, Lord, where were you? You could have stopped that. And he said, no, they've kicked me out of the schools. But he said, if two people will drive around a school every morning, and they will draw a bloodline. Remember the foxes? Draw a bloodline. If they will draw a bloodline, there will never be a shooting in that school. So you can, here we had a Christian college. I mean, it wasn't a Christian college, but it's in a Christian community in Oregon. A lot of people were God-fearing people. If there were Christians in that classroom shot dead. But if Christians in the community had taken their authority and drawn a bloodline around that school, it could never have happened. In your town, if you have a Christian college, we have one in Branson. And we've told people, we want you to be driving around that school. We want you to be drawing a bloodline around that school so that there will not be any shootings there. If you really, really draw the bloodline and you really, really know your authority, you won't have it happen in your town. You won't have it happen, but somebody's going to have to do it. Now, in the book that I wrote, does the Bible give us authority to draw bloodlines? And So I wrote in my book, decidedly, yes, the scarlet thread of Rahab and the night that death passed over with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. So the death, the night death passed over. This is from my book. This is a bloodline they drew. This is where we know we can draw bloodlines. After 9 terrible plagues, Pharaoh still refused to let God's people go. With a 10th, a great terror, God would bring his people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt. Moses informed Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts." And of course, then that's when that night of the Passover, they killed a lamb for a house. They took the blood of the lamb and they put it up on the doorpost and of the house. And God said, now there's a real clue in here that it was the destroyer that was coming to destroy them. It was a judgment, but everybody was guilty. Even all the children of Israel were guilty. But the Lord said, you put up this bloodline, and when the blood is there, I will pass over you. And it says here in Exodus 12:23, the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts. The Lord will pass over the door and will not allow, listen to this, the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. It is the destroyer. He would rather have killed God's chosen people than to kill the Egyptians. But he couldn't even kill one of their animals. Why? Because there was a bloodline drawn. There was a bloodline drawn by that blood that was put on those doorposts. All they had to do was get behind that bloodline. They couldn't just believe that the blood would protect them. They had to apply the blood. You apply the blood on your life, on your family. One of our ladies driving out to Prayer Mountain, Mary, the other day, on the road to Prayer Mountain, she heard the Lord say, the blood applied says to Satan, access denied. The blood applied. It's not faith in the blood. It's not believing in the blood. It's not thinking, oh, the blood, singing about the blood, though we love to sing about the blood. You apply the blood. You draw the bloodline around your school. You draw the bloodline around your little child's bedroom. The blood applied says to Satan, access denied.
Mrs. Newsom said, if you make much of the blood,
the blood will make much of you. Bless the Lord. Now, we're here in Branson, Missouri this night. And we've already started our Autumn Assembly 20th anniversary. We're working. God is showing us things there at the Branson Events Center, what he wants us to pray about, what he wants us to pray about in Israel, what he wants us to pray about all over the world. And we're coming out. We're coming out in prayer to pray in the plans of God and to stop the strategies of the enemy. We invite you to join us at the Branson Events Center. You can go online, billybrim.org, billybrim.org, or you can telephone us at 1-800-972-3447, and you can find out how to get where we are, or you can go online. This is a stream live event. You can go online to billybrim.org, and you can join us that way. We'd rather have you come and be with us, but anyway, it all is good. But I'm telling you, folks, we are not afraid. We are not fearful. We are moving on, and the blood is over us. Shalom, shalom.